Thank you. The first order of business on Conservation Committee is the approval of the previous committee meeting minutes, which have been distributed. Is there a motion?
Sorry, Mark. I was going to say, I think we have a lot of people here that were interested in water spinach. That will be the last discussion of that today. And then we will discuss it tomorrow. The meeting starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So if you all would like to leave, I mean, you're welcome to stay. This is a public meeting, but that is our discussion on water spinach.
Position on that matter and other things, so it's helpful for us to have kind of hear what they're thinking about from a conservation perspective. Last thing I'll mention, every Thursday, you'll get a reporting of philanthropic gifts to the agency from companies and individuals and foundations that have made, the partners that make very generous gifts to this agency. Just completed one that Jeannie Munoz Poore worked on behalf of the agency with Apache Oil Company. Donated 68,000 native trees for us to use in restocking and revegetation efforts at about five or six wildlife management areas and five or six state parks and a couple of our fish hatcheries. And so great partnership with Apache Oil Company. First time we've done something with them, and Jeannie and others who work on that did a great job. So we're very proud of that partnership, and we'll see that grow in the future. We work on our restoration of longleaf pine and cotton and hardwoods and so forth. So, Mr. Chairman, that's it in terms of my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of you may have.
Is there any way we could get a copy of the remarks from the seminar?
Sure, from the plenary session and the three plenary speakers? Absolutely. Yeah, we'll assemble that and distribute it to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Committee item number two, right-of-way easement, Hayes County, approximately 5 acres at Stokes Island, inland fisheries property. Permission to begin the public notice and the process. Mr. Corbin.
Good morning. The record for Coal and Lake Conservation Program. This is an item, Hayes County, Texas. A small island that was donated to us that's put into the city limits of San Marcos, Texas. It's directly across the river from the San Marcos Fish Hatchery. The island is known as Thompson's Island. It was donated by the Stokes family to Parks and Wildlife. It is important because the water intake structure for the hatchery is in the middle of the river between the hatchery and the island. It's maintained by the city of San Marcos and run as a city park. It's an informal agreement with them. The city has a need to repair bridges across the San Marcos River. TxDOT's going to do the project as an offline project. They will need some acquisition from us to rebuild this bridge to make it a little larger and for a retention pond of sorts. If you look at the polygons, magenta polygons, the first one to the southwest is what the TxDOT had required for the bridge repair. Doing the surveys for that track, we found out that the city actually did not have any right-of-way easement through the whole track of the road. That city road's been there for quite a long time and just never really got access. So we proposed to give them an easement that they need for the bridge repair and throughout our island property for future use. We ask permission to publish public notice, list public comments. We will conduct a public meeting and anticipate action at the general red meeting. I'm glad to take any questions.
Is Cape Road what we're looking at?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
He's a
jerk.
Is
this
permanent drain?
Yes.
Is there any concern that the Green City is doing
with the maintenance of the park?
Whatever the Green City
is. Well,
is it a maintenance green at home?
The island itself is used by people to fish and swim. It's also used by a lot of outfitters to do viewing and kayaking. So all the mowing, trash pickup, everything on the island is done by the city without any formal agreement. It's just kind of a handshake deal.
I'm asking you, is there any concern on your part that it is just should consider?
One of the things that we will probably negotiate, and it may be a reason why we're not going to ask any money for this easement, is to when we grant them the easement for the bridge and the road right away, that they have a prescriptive easement on the road already, but we're just saying formal. It is to be a formal agreement. It wouldn't be a good deal for us to give them this easement, and then a year from now, say, well, we're going to put maintenance on the park. Yes, sir.
questions, comments, or discussion? Hearing none, I'll offer a staff to begin public notice of the process. Committee item number three, land sale and conservation easement, San Tata, Lancaster County, 12.5 acres, Colorado Bend State Park. Permission to begin public notice of the process.
Again, for the record, Courtney Coleman. This is the item at Colorado Bend State Park, San Tata County, which is just outside Lancaster, San Tata. This item is a land sale and a conservation easement donation. This is a polygon showing the entire park, and the red circle area is where this transaction is going to take place. It's right at the entrance to the park. If you look at this map, there is a landowner that has been trying for a lot of years to get access through the first side road, going in, coming in the park entrance and then running off in the polygon you see in red. Dealt with him for a lot of years, got all the different versions of what we could or couldn't do, and came up with the concept of selling them 12.5 acres of land that you see in the red polygon. They will buy that, will have it appraised, they will purchase that tract of land, and then donate on their tract a 750 foot wide easement, which is going to be approximately 144 acres. That says 144. I just recently received some survey maps that are closer to 150 acres that they're going to donate, and the 12.5 acre tract will also have a conservation easement on it. A pretty limited conservation easement. So in summary, we will sell them 12.5 acres, and they will purchase that, donate a conservation easement on that, and also on the 750 foot strip of land adjacent to the park. I'll take any questions.
Why does he need to own the 12.5 acres?
The 12.5 acres, we've been over this quite a bit. If we gave them an easement on the 12.5 acres in exchange, sold them an easement in exchange for the conservation easement, it would leave kind of a no man's land in that 12 acres that park staff thinks would be hard to manage, because basically it would be on the other side across not a public road, but it would be an easement road. On that site, there is the old dump site for the ranch previously, which will be cleaned up. But for operational purposes, it'd be easier for us to sell that to them and then take the donation of the 144 acres of conservation. I know we're selling 12.5 acres of Colorado Bend State Park. It will have very little impact to the park use. But we are also putting another 144 acres into conservation.
What's he going to do?
What's driving this is that the family owns about 1,600 acres there. That the family has financial difficulties. They have used this access to the park forever. They have other access to the main body of the ranch. This is stuff that they have bought besides the family ranch. They are in need to sell 600 acres of the ranch. And this is the best access they could get to sell that portion of the ranch. Now, one of the benefits of this is that if we didn't do something here, a deal like this, and they were forced, which they don't necessarily want to do, but if they had to sell the 600 acres and gave them access to the other access from the ranch, if they sold it to a developer, then we'd see 1 acre tracts all along that boundary. And this would give us a 750 foot buffer to the boundary of the park there for most of that 1.7 miles. That would be the benefit of what we're looking at, the benefit for this.
Corky, you might just comment on some of the specifics of the conservation easement that will be overlaid on the 12 acres that we saw you mentioned, the stringent easement. Can you say a few words about that?
Actually, the way, and the easement's all been agreed to with myself and their attorney and the family, the only thing they can put on the easement, both the 12.5 acre track and the 144-acre track, are deer blinds. And those deer blinds in the easement, even those deer blinds can't be within, I think, 200 to 300 foot fence line. They can put deer blinds and feeders, and that's all they can do within that easement track. Anytime there is any brush work done, if they want to do any cedar removal or mesquite removal, it has to be approved by our staff. And one of the reasons for that is because you're doing the trade to keep that is to help the view shed from that fence line and putting a trail along the fence line. So it's pretty restricted. It'll remain like it is.
Is there any reason to try to negotiate a right to buy or buy a first refusal as to the acres that they say they plan to use this facility?
There, it could be, but to this park, buying that acreage to this park would probably add very little to the park, basically because it is a river use park. Mostly everything that happens in this park happens down along the river. So you see the main road that goes all the way through the park and then dead ends down at the river. That's where all our facilities are. Having an additional 600 acres up in that section where we would probably take it, I doubt it would be a priority for the agency to purchase that 600 acres.
So is there any harm in asking for the right of first refusal if it's so basically?
They would be more than glad to do that. I mean, they'd sell to us tomorrow. If they put it on the market, it's not 100% sure that they're going to put it on the market. The family really does want to sell it. There's a lot of family dynamics going here with this deal. As a matter of fact, to do this deal, we've got a contract in place that had to be signed by the two owners, a man and woman, were divorced, and three daughters, one from Dallas, one here at Austin, one in Brooklyn. And that was one of the things about this deal, is getting those five people to agree on anything. A nightmare. But they will, I'm sure they will be more than happy to sign that and to sell it to us.
I'd like to suggest we ask my first
put it on. We can certainly do that as to the all of the process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, sir.
So you will have a
We will hold conservation easements on properties adjacent to our own properties. That's our policy now. I mean, I'm sure there could be exceptions to that policy in the future, because they're looking down the line. I can think of a couple places now where we would hold an easement not adjacent to a specific person. But right now, our policy is holding properties adjacent to our own buildings.
Process. That's an important point.
Again, for the record, Corky Coleman Land Conservation Program. This is Cheryl Allen Grandi, the headquarters of our rural birding site in Chicago County, just like the south of West Texas. It is a tract of land that is a church camp. It's 30 acres that borders the World Birding Center site. There is some of the best habitat left in the valley. And it also, a lot of the success, the birding success of this site, Lado Grande, comes from the habitat birds that's shown through this Methodist campsite. The church put it on the market. As soon as they put it on the market, they contacted us, knowing how important it was to the area as far as birding, and that if it did fail, chances are, and then on a trip down there, my first visit down there, there was a developer on the property with it, and he said, if this was mine, the first thing I'd do is close it all, clear, put in lots, and then plant trees.
Exactly. Yeah.
This site is a church camp. There's facilities there to run a church camp. There's a swimming pool. There's a chapel. There's a lodge with a huge kitchen complex. There's cabins that live anywhere from 16 to 32 people. That we're going to discuss. We've already done studies. Our infrastructure division has done a detailed study on the building, the condition of the building, what improvements have to be made. Whether they're worth keeping. As far as what we do with the infrastructure on the site, that is fairly pretty much in the air. There's a lot of people willing to do different things with it. We've already been, and it was before we even had a contract on the property, which we do now, we've been contacted by different universities that like to use it a variety of people to show interest. If we want to partner with someone, which I don't know if we will. We may not. But the end use of the camp basically is up in the air. Our priority was to study the habitat. Again, permission of public notice, speak public comment, and anticipate action in January meeting. I'm glad to take any questions.
Any questions or comments? Quick question.
Who owns this tract?
That is
Meadow.
Is it one owner that owns it?
Yes.
Are you referring to the rectangular piece on the bottom?
Yeah, cut out. Yeah. And you said we did have some kind of easement on it.
We had some kind of agreement with her. Corky, do you recall what shape that took? Was it a conservation lease or an agreement to use that? I was kind of negotiating as part of the original acquisition of that site.
Right. I'm not sure what that agreement is. And I visited with her, but it's probably been 8 or 10 years ago since I had anything to do with that site. I don't remember if we...
Not as much that. There was some kind of arrangement. This is an event on her family used to own the trailer park that's delineated there as Lakeview property. Her husband's passed away. I presume she still lives in the family house there. And
yes.
The one that's there. She's been fairly favorably inclined to the park there. I think it's like, you know, where we stay on that. But this is next door.
Okay, I will do that. Corky, is anybody else looking at this property, or are we the only one interested in it?
I'm uncertain. The only entity that I know of that was looking at it was the Catholic Church, the church camp. When I negotiated with the elders, the Methodist camp, at that time, which has been about a month and a half ago, they said the only other interested party was the Catholic Church. I'm not sure. It took us a while to get a contract on it, and I'm not sure that the people handling the deal had their own businesses, their own lives, and it was just the church elders handling the deal. Or if they were looking at other offers, I doubt it. I think they like to sell to us, and they like to sell to us because they would take a lot of heat if it was bought by developers and sure. So.
And we're paying, just pay market price for this?
We will pay market price for this. We have a contract right now. We will have our own appraisal done. And the contract we have is null and void if it comes in under they're asking for. They had an appraisal done. We have a contract right now for a little bit under what their appraisal was.
See, hearing none, I'll authorize staff to begin the public notice and approval process. Committee item number 5, nomination for oil and gas leads in South County's Chaparral Wildlife Management Area.
Working Coleman. This is the Chaparral Wildlife Management Area in LaSalle, Lake County. One of our major research areas for my field here, probably the only one in South Texas, Chaparral. Well, over 15,000 acres just west of Artesian Wells, South Texas. As you all know, the board for lease for the general land office accepts nominations for mineral rights on the parcel of life on the property. They have a nomination to lease Chaparral WMA, but we only own 1/6 of the mineral. So they have a nomination for that 1/6 mineral. Right now, the terms, and when I say right now, the minimum 600 per acre bonus may change. That was said about a week ago by the GLO comparing crops in the area, and that's why it said the minimum 600, maybe more by the time it goes to nominate. It goes to be a 25% royalty, a 10 acre delay rental, 3-year lease, and this is going to be something we're going to have to work at because we only own 1/6 of the mineral interest. We can't keep the other drillers off. The 5/6 mineral holders, they lease their property. They have rights to own their property and pretty much drill where they want. We're going to negotiate a surface use agreement with whoever ends up in the drillers, the exploration company, and try to minimize the damage done to Chaparral. It's going to be a struggle. This is the motion that's going to be for you tomorrow.
Any comments?
Do we know the other 5/6 mineral is currently leased?
We know they're either leased or in the process of leasing.
Can we negotiate the service use agreement in-house?
We do it in-house, yes, sir. And we generally do it with the exploration company, drilling company.
This is right in the middle of a very developing trend in South Texas, Eagle for Shale.
Yes.
It's going to be hard on drilling, and I'm familiar with several leases that have been pretty restrictive on the surface use because it is hard on drilling. The wells can be placed. I know at least if we're a quarter, the wells can be drilled in, and other quarters, the wells can be drilled in. And also, pipeline easements have to be along boundaries of the thicker lane, so there is our surface use agreement could probably be pretty tough and still allow the operator to conduct his business on the property.
It could be pretty tough if we owned all the minerals. And in this case, we only own 1/6 of the minerals, that reduces our negotiating power for the surface use agreement.
Somewhat. It's still pretty tough for us. For an operator to come in and drill the 5/6 amount of lake to be done, I still think you're going to have some negotiation.
Just latitude, we hope.
For the record, I'm Amrod, General Counsel. And just to let you know, we've been very firm in the General Land Office about the property being protected. And we do, even in instances when we've probably had even less authority here, we've been pretty successful at getting the terms. Exactly right. When we don't own the mineral, sometimes it's difficult. But I'm all.
And in this case, we generally do not have done this in the past. And in this case, we have a surface use agreement incorporated into the bid package of the GLO. And it's got a six-page service agreement, and the bottom line on it says that drilling sites will have to be coordinated with their area manager. Now, that may hamper someone getting on it. We'll see.
Would you like to review the land use?
I was just going to say, Dan, will you help us on this? Yeah, because you've got more expertise than anybody else. Because it gets complicated, we have to work through the GLO too, so it's not easy. It's like the Army, watch out what you volunteer for. We'll volunteer you for you.
So. I just want to echo what Dan Allen said. I think you're in a better position to give yourself credit for
And you might let everybody understand, though, we have to work with GLO, so they understand there's a layer here between ourselves and go ahead.
Yeah, the Virginia and the Natural Resources Code requires that all of the park and wildlife minerals are leased by the board for lease in the general land office. The board for lease is the commissioner, representing the different parks that is land commission, representative parks and wildlife minerals of the public. These lawyers submitted to the general land office as a courtesy. However, they have been very good at not leasing these until we get a chance to bring these to the commission for a recommendation. And we just sent a letter, that's what actually I just got to the commission, to the general land office, talking about the conditions that we would like to see in the process.
I'm sorry. I might take
in, if that meeting is Friday, which the decision's going to be made, I could give a commitment to you right away. I apologize if you realize that it's coming up so quickly.
And I'm not sure that they will approve all the conditions. They probably will just approve it generally.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much for the help. If there is no further discussion, I will place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 6, pipeline easement in Harris County, changes in the battleground state for sites. Mr. Ted Hollingsworth.
Chairman, Commissioners, good morning. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This item asks you to consider a request for a pipeline easement across the San Jacinto Battleground in Harris County. I think most of you know that San Jacinto is the location where Texas won their independence from Mexico. The park is essentially an open park now, but it's about to 25 miles east of downtown Houston. We've been working with this pipeline company. Mustang is the pipeline company, but they're doing the engineering installation work on behalf of Lionel EchoStar. We looked at several routes to get from their point of insertion adjacent to the Houston Ship Channel to their destination just south of the park. Park staff and myself as well have evaluated several routes and feel like this is the least intrusive route. You see in yellow alongside the state highway is the greatest portion of that. And we would pass under Vista Road and the south there. Those would be the two locations where they're on state park property. We asked them to directionally drill to avoid any potential impact on cultural resources. They've agreed to do that with a bottom depth of 45 feet. There will be one bore pit where that pipeline turns the corner east from the state road. There will be a little bit of vegetation control involved. We'll have to make room to insert the pipe into that drill pit location. The product that we carry is a gasoline additive. I would mention that there are already 15 pipelines that I know of under the battleground, containing about 7 existing pipeline corridors. Most of those are traditional surface trenches. The last 3 or 4 we've been able to convince them to directionally drill underneath the park. It'd be a standard 10-year lease term, and we would be issuing that lease. This is the motion that you would see tomorrow, simply authorizing the executive director to continue the process of negotiating those terms and enter into at least when we thought those terms were acceptable and minimize impact to the park. If you have to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioner Duggan, are our regulations about the assessment of the impact on the historical area of the sort of use
Yes and no. The fact that it is a historic site has allowed us to require far more cultural resource testing of the surface than we would at other sites. In fact, we've required them to do a complete reconnaissance consistent with the research we're doing in the park on the entire corridor, even those areas where the pipeline's been 4 to 5 feet on the ground. So we've gotten I just to take a while to guess, but probably $10,000 worth of pre-archaeological research in that corridor to add to the body of knowledge that we're building about the surface of the site.
Take one question. Looking at the map, going back to your map, the route of the pipeline on the left side there were parallel to the like highway, the yellow.
Yes, sir.
I know there's plenty of pipelines. You said there's already several pipelines on the San Jacinto ground. It looks like that pipeline could be taken right across that road and run off of the valley.
Yes, sir. That property directly across the street is the property of the tank farm operator there, who is the direct competition for this pipeline owner-operator, and they simply refused to grant access. It's just that simple. They could not take that route.
Okay, well, it looks as if, for example, they could come across the highway and then still go ahead and go back to the northwest. I think that white line or the pipeline.
Yes, sir. We pointed out, put that out to them early in the process, and I can't remember the name of the tank farm operator. They're also a good neighbor to the park, but very intrusive. And again, they're direct competitors, and we're assured by both the pipeline operator and the owner of the tank farm that they will not get an easement to cross that property.
By the proposed easement, the party that wants to easement.
It's been how many years?
Well, I'm just saying, though, it could condemn it even better.
You know, it's the responsibility of this commission to determine what that standard of demonstration is, that there's no reasonable prudent alternative. I believe the staff has done everything they can to minimize the impacts to the park. But again, this commission has the discretion to determine what that standard of proof is.
Any other comments or Ted on this issue? Questions? Hearing none, I'll place this item on the Thursday commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 7, land acquisition in Hardin County. Approximately 1,500 acres at Village Creek State Park. Again, Mr. Ted Hollingsworth.
Chairman, Commissioner, my name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This will be the second reading of this proposal to acquire approximately 1,500 acres. It will more than double the size of Village Creek State Park. Village Creek State Park is about 10 miles north of Beaumont. It is in the community of Lumberton, which is growing very rapidly. As you can see in this picture, in fact, all of the land immediately west of the park and much of the land north of the park is already in subdivisions. This addition represents the last opportunity to really, really significantly increase the size of the park. The park was opened to the public in 1993. Visitation has increased steadily. This addition would again more than double, and significantly would add significant amount of uplands. Much of that park does go underwater during floods, and this would add areas for trails, camping areas, and so forth to be added in the future. This tract has been identified for many years as a very high priority for acquisition, for the obvious reason that it is the one location, it's the one direction we can go from the park. And significantly expand the park. There's opportunity to restore long-lead pine savanna on this tract. It has high biological value as well as high conservation and recreation value. The property is currently owned by the Conservation Fund. They acquired it because it's, again, just we've all agreed for a long time it's a very high conservation priority. And they're offering to us a mortgage sale. They were able to get federal grant dollars to acquire, to pay much of the balance due on this track. Apologize, the last bullet is wrong. The National Park Service has requested that everything within their authorized boundary for the Village Creek corridor be sold to them at appraised value. And the remaining tract is the tract you see in yellow. We do have an MOU that we signed with the National Park Service in 2007 that basically obligates them to work with us on a public use plan. It would give visitors to the state park access to that entire additional 7 acres of creek frontage. And we do intend to generate a new public use plan and exercise the rights in that MOU to make everything in the red and the yellow and in fact make that creek all the way out to the river accessible to the public. Staff does recommend this acquisition. Diversion in the state park, and again, the state park, which is increasing in public use and public value. I'd have to answer any questions you might have. Commissioner Duggan?
Do you say that the area to the east of the yellow line over the river is federally owned?
It is federally authorized for addition to the Village Creek unit of the Big Thicket Preserve. A little over 100 acres, something over 100 acres of the property that the Conservation Fund owns is in that footprint, and the National Park Service has requested that that portion of this tract be sold to them as opposed to being sold to Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And inasmuch as they have been partners in this acquisition from the very beginning, we have agreed to that transfer. They will be paying full appraised market value because their rules require that. So their participation in this project is actually reducing our cost, reducing our cost per acre for this acquisition.
But this MOU that you talked about would give our users access to the country.
What the MOU says is that at any site where we have adjacent boundaries, this being one of a couple of sites, that if we request public access to the development of a public use plan, that it obligates them to participate in that public use process and develop a public use plan that gives visitors to our sites access to their adjacent properties. Yes, sir.
Any other comments? I just have one question. What exactly is the conservation plan?
It is a private nonprofit organization whose mission is to acquire funds for the acquisition and conservation of biologically important properties nationwide. They work with us on several acquisitions, particularly in Texas. It's an area of high interest for them.
Well, that's a good time. The agencies all get confusing. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Any item number eight? Request the Commission approval of Parks and Wildlife Department Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. Ted Hollingsworth and the scheme, you know, is each making a presentation.
Chairman, Commissioners, good morning. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This is Gene Mueller 4 with the Project Management Office. And with your blessing, we're going to refer to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department Land and Water Conservation and Recreation Plan as the Land and Water Plan for purposes of this discussion. Essentially an update. Actually, it's a rewrite of a plan that was first approved by the 77th legislature in 2001. This will be the second revision, actually the first full rewrite of what we refer to as the strategic plan or the land and water plan. It's a broad overview plan that outlines, it elaborates on our mission and talks about what we do and goes into a little bit of detail about how we propose to do that over the years ahead. We approached this rewrite a little differently than we have in the past. It was very important to the executive office of this agency and the commission that there be broad participation in the writing of this plan, And so we used the Texas Conservation and Recreation Forums, which is a newly developed vehicle for us, to be sure that we got input from staff at all levels, as well as from our key stakeholders and conservation partners across the state. There were 12 forums, all of which met at least once, and several of which met two or three or four times to make sure we had broad input into this plan. We try to be sensitive to the audience for the plan. Primarily, it is Texas Parks and Wildlife. It is our staff. It is their guiding strategic document. But we also want it to be a plan that is readable and made with clear sense to legislators, to our stakeholders and partners, and to the citizens of Texas. We want to make sure this is a plan that almost anybody can read and understand what we do and why we do it. As I mentioned, we had 43 meetings of the Texas Conservation and Recreation Forum. We invited several hundred of our partners specifically and several hundred more indirectly. We had a web presence for about 3 months. We solicited public comments through our website as well. Jeannie and myself and two others who constituted basically what we call the edit team reviewed literally thousands of individual comments. I will tell you that we read every single comment that was submitted. The draft plan went through, depending upon how you count them, several dozen revisions to take into account, not just those comments, but comments provided to us by yourselves, and by staff and by the public. We wanted this plan to be, just to be candid, be a little more fun to read than previous versions of the plan. And you have copies in front of you, as you can see the plan is a little more colorful. We didn't want the pictures to distract from the content, but we did want the plan to be one that people would enjoy looking at and would, again, link visually the significance and the importance of what we do and how we say we're going to do it. We wanted the plan to be established a very clear vision. I mentioned the fact that we wanted not just involvement, but buy-in to the plan at all levels. And again, the most important thing is that the plan linked directly to what everyone in this agency does. We want the plan to be a little easier to read. In the last version of the plan, there were essentially 66 pages of background information before a reader got to the goals. We've reduced that down to about 10 pages. There were 8 goals in the last plan, and now there are 4. We haven't eliminated anything, but we've combined those so they're a little simpler to understand the bottom line of what we do as an agency. And just as an overview, the plan now is broken up into the goals and objectives section, which are complemented by several pages of narratives, which again provide that background and go into a little bit more detail about some of the specific things we do as an agency. And then scattered amongst those, we've got some very specific deliverables. We've got about 25 deliverable, quantifiable bullets in there. They certainly don't represent everything we do, but we feel like they represent a good cross-section, and then by reporting to you regularly on the achievement of those goals, it paints a picture of whether or not, or to what extent we are implementing the entire plan. Those 4 goals, in a nutshell, the first goal we call the stewardship goal. Basically says we're going to use the best available science to manage our sites, and we're going to make that science available to everyone else who wants to manage their own properties for conservation in Texas. The second goal is the recreation goal. It says we're going to do everything we can to make a broad variety of outdoor recreational opportunities available to the people of Texas and the visitors of Texas. The third one says that we're going to try and make sure that Texans understand why conservation is important through education, public outreach. We have as part of our mission, making sure people understand why our mission is what it is and why we think it's important. So, we want the public to support what we do in conservation and recreation in Texas. And the fourth one is our business goal. Obviously, we want to operate efficiently. We want the public to understand, the legislators to understand, be able to see that we're taking resources we have and applying efficiently to our mission. Again, these are just some examples of pages from the copy out in front of you. Visually, it's a very different product than the last two versions of the plan. One of the things we struggle with a lot is how much information to include in the plan. It either needs to be an umbrella document or it needs to be about a four-volume document that you need a four-foot to carry around. We decided that the printed version should be an overview, should be easy for anyone to read, but we also realized that our staff, our legislators, those who are interested in what we do, need access to the other information, need access to our other plans, our other operating plans, our division operating plans, our restoration plans, our conservation plans. So over the next few months, we will take the electronic version of this plan and we will link it to all of those other plans, the division operating plans, which will be developed, program operating plans, specific conservation plans such as seagrass plans, wetland plans, deer management plans. All those plans that we develop, we'd like for the public to have and staff to have easy access to through this electronic version. The division operating plans we now have for a couple of divisions, but not all of the divisions. Those will be developed over the next year. They'll be linked to the plan, and an individual performance plan will link to the division operating plan and ultimately to the land and water plan. I think you know that we've got somewhere in the region of probably 8,000 or 9,000 staff hours invested in this plan now. We have read thousands of comments. We believe we take every single one of those into account. And we believe that the draft plan that you're looking at does a good job of representing our mission, what we do, and how we propose to do it over the years ahead. And we hope tomorrow that you will adopt the motion that you see before you. My mouth is dry, so you may be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Any questions or comments? First of all, I'd like to ask if this is the final size of the document.
Reading glasses.
Yeah. Didn't ask about that. The font size is wonderfully small.
Actually, the take home message is don't get the plan wet. The box got wet on the way over here.
Well, if no one else has any comments, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank you all for creating what I think is a very forward thinking, very dynamic document that is something that people will actually want to be done to pay attention to. And I think also the fact that we have it electronically is going to be very important, especially with all the various links to the various focus points from the department aspects of that nature. But all in all, just congratulations on the process.
And kudos to everybody. And also I want to thank our fellow commissioners to appreciate us coming to the streets and everybody's input, and everybody did give us input. So it's overwhelming, hopefully not, but also helpful. And I appreciate you and Jeannie. Of course, Scott's not here today, but thank Scott also for all the work and then setting up the retreat and just all together, Chad. It's excellent. It's excellent.
Well, as much as we're looking forward to getting back to our day jobs, it really has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Receiving those comments from staff and the public to see what people think about this agency and what they think about what we ought to be doing. And it's a lot of fun. We really appreciate the attention that the commission has shown and the very positive feedback and all the fresh eyes. It was obvious that you read it, took it seriously, and provided her thoughts and comments. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. If there are no further comments or discussion, I will place this item on the first agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 9, land sale, Travis County, 8 acres on Staten land. Permission to begin the public notice and the process. Mr. Corky Coleman.
For the record, Corky Coleman. And also, I do enjoy buying land more than selling land.
That's right.
This is right here at our headquarters, Cedar Falls State Park. This is a small piece of property near the headquarters where we're sitting. It's across Dadley Lane. And actually, this small piece of property was separated from the main body of the park by the extension of Dadley Lane. The general land office has been this track has been utilized by Parks and Wildlife and like the rest of the government, the surplus land. Have had a request from the city of Austin to buy a portion of this mid-acre tract, the parking mid-acre tract, for a drainage project along Williamson Creek. This next slide is kind of ugly, but it tells the story. The red is the three-quarters of an acre that the city would like to purchase from us for a drainage project. If you look at the red track, the northern part of it, blue line, is the 100-year flood plain. The line above that is the 500-year. If you look right to the southwest of the red track, there is a half acre that we own. But if you notice the triangle that runs along a steady lane, that half acre is actually landlocked. But we only have acre there. The main bulk of what we own that's worth any money is 6.6 acres with about 175 foot Stadium Lane frontage. We, of course, would like to work with the city of Austin and sell the red section of the floodplain anyway for appraised value. The 6.6, we would like to be able to sell the market and get whatever we can for it. And we would like to give your permission to publish public notice, solicit public comment, conduct the public meetings, and anticipate action at the hearing. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
On the fire, keep it the fire line. What is this Williamson Creek?
If you notice, coming from the left side of the picture, it's the center between the blue line.
Okay.
Since this property is GLO hills, do they have the right to sell it? Do we have to sell it?
They put it on an underutilized list, and generally when they put it on that list, they
go ahead. You're doing fine.
Yeah, they GLO, that's right.
Right.
Okay. Well, assuming we have to run an obligation to dispose of it, since it's right across the highway park, do we consider whether we ought to seek some sort of conservation easement or some deed restriction on what can go there and sort of hate for that wrecked park?
It would be developed. As a matter of fact, PennDOT's interested in buying it for new office space to be placed where they're in. Riverside provides here. I think the GLO owns that property and wants to sell the developers and so things like looking to put their office on Riverside there. But its value would be to sell it unrestricted.
So we'll brought it back here to King Falls State Park. You might explain how Stassney ended up cutting this off.
You see Stassney
That's what changed this. Please go ahead.
Right. The Jimmy Clay golf course and the city course, and actually we wrap around it. There is not a lot of public use associated with the park along Stanley Lane at this point. I think we have none there.
Mr.
that's certainly not said we couldn't have more public use on that part of the park in the future, but certainly that's where it stands right now. Staff needs and will be a fairly major thoroughfare. So that little track is very disjunct from the core part of the park. We've already have a lot of audible pollution from other developments in and around the park. You know, we can certainly do what we can. We are trying to find a buyer for that to ensure that whatever measures we think are appropriate could be taken with impact, limits impact on the park. But the Stasky Lane really does render that parcel almost unusable to us in many ways.
I don't question that, but I think they see it pointing toward an island.
Sure.
So I would explore these restrictions on height, maybe no cement plants or something.
So explore some kind of a more compatible development of that side. It's, you know, commercial or residential in nature. It's not going to be visual problems or some other kind of pollution or anything to impact the park. We can certainly do that.
At least that's all again.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely.
Of course, you know the open space is to the north and east of the prospect where you've got like 5 junctions.
I am not sure. I'm sorry. I'm not sure who owns that. In this track that you see here, the extension of the road out of the subdivision and the small track along Stasky Lane actually belongs to the same gentleman that deeded us the rest of the 6 acre 8 acres there. And we went through 3 title companies trying to figure out ownership. That's very difficult to do. And then we ended up with the city wanting to buy the 3/4 acre based on the getting a survey and trying to figure out ownership. And the general land office had different configurations of what we owned there and different acreages that this is as close as we can get. I can find out who owns the rest of it.
I just, you know, I mean, I'm coming up with a whole lot of space.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll offer our staff to begin the public notice and the process. Let's see, Conservation Committee items number 10, 11, and 13 will be discussed in executive session. Item number 12, easement and tree stump fence has been withdrawn. After executive session, we will receive a presentation on item number 13. We will now deviate from our normal process and recess Conservation Committee and move to Finance Committee. Thank you. At this time, we will reconvene the regular session of the Conservation Committee. Regarding Committee Item Number 10, Possible Land Acquisition in Tarrant County, excuse me, no further action required. Regarding Committee Item Number 11, Land Acquisition in Uvalde County, 178 acres at Garner State Park. I will ask staff to begin the public notice and intro process. Regarding Committee Item Number 13, request for representation regarding property petition on Greene County, San Angelo Regional Office Complex, and Bright, please be quick.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the record, I'm Ann Brock. This is really just going to be a brief recap of issues regarding the San Angelo. We've been referring to it as original headquarters. We've also been referring to it as attachment. This is Tom Green County. There's a total of 50 acres in 2 different tracts. There's infrastructure on 7.61 acres, because 2.39 acres is primarily the property that we use. 1928, landowners in Tom Green County authorized who donated property to the commission, predecessors to the commission, to be used as a fish hatchery, but provided that it stopped being used as a fish hatchery from the Unimores to emerge. Over the years, it has been used less and less as a fish hatchery as a result of the lack of water. Over the years, we have contacted the mayor, City of Lebanon, original grantors, who have acquired all or a portion of the city's interest. The office is located on the property. We'd like to try to clean up the title. We recommend that the property be petitioned. If authorized, we'll come back to the commission tomorrow. I'd be happy to answer your question.
Commissioner Davis?
I don't know whether this is the, whether it's today or tomorrow, this would be the proper time. Ask this, but I'd like to suggest that the proposal be planned broadly to give the lawyers full authority to explore all possible costs of action or other avenues, including partition, as we move forward and not just limit it to a partition.
Absolutely, we can do that, and I'll actually change that motion to reflect that in this presentation.
Any other comments, questions for him? Hearing none, I'll place this item on the Thursday commission meeting agenda for public comments and action. Chairman Hope, this committee has completed its business, and I will pass the gavel back to Chairman Falcone.